Symposium this morning is by Peter Kettlewell, and the paper is entitled Counterintuitive Increase in Yield from Film Antitranspirant Applied to Droughted Wheat. Peter.
Thank you, Phil. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to, in this talk, try and give you a fresh approach to an old research area. Before I do that, I'd like to just acknowledge the hard work of our technical staff in setting up our field experiments and also funding, as well as from my institution, the Chekhov organisation, the Homegrown Cereals Authority in the UK, and the antitranspirant was donated by a company called Intracrop. On the wall in front of my desk, I have a list of quotations which I look at now and again and try and think about, am I trying to apply these? One of the ones I like is this one from the guy who discovered the role of calcium in cell signalling. I noticed the other day that he'd been in the Thomson Reuters list of possible candidates for a Nobel Prize this year, but he didn't quite make it, just based on citations. But anyway, Michael Berridge, one of the things he said is to be a successful scientist, you need to be able to make connections between a lot of disparate facts. Well, in this talk, I'm going to try and make a connection between two disparate facts. I guess that doesn't make me a successful scientist working on only two, but it's a start. Firstly then, before I get on to the disparate facts, what are film antitranspirants, for those who don't know? They're basically polymers which you spray onto the leaves, cover over the stomata, and reduce water vapour loss from the leaf. That's a definition from one of the three main reviews on antitranspirants. So the first disparate fact then is from all the research that was done on antitranspirants. Basically, antitranspirants started in research in the 1950s, continued through the 60s and the 70s. Very clearly, all that research showed that they do effectively reduce transpiration by covering over the stomata with a film which is less permeable to water vapour loss. But the problem was that this research also showed very clearly that those polymers are less permeable to carbon dioxide. So you don't get as much CO2 taken up through the stomata, so there's less photosynthesis, less growth. And there's a very large body of research which showed that. And if we look to the textbooks to see what they say about antitranspirants, I like to think of Kramer and Boyer's book as the Bible of water relations, where I look for the first bit of information. What they say is, in short, the polymers work mostly in cases where photosynthesis is not important. With the demonstration of this principle, research on antitranspirants was largely abandoned. And what have we got commercially available? Just as they say, very, very limited use. This is one of the products that's available in the United States, VapoGuard. It's sold for reducing desiccation in things like Christmas trees, where growth is of no consequence, so you're just trying to reduce water loss. Doesn't matter that you reduce photosynthesis. Transplanting shock. Transplants have probably got closed stomata anyway, so it doesn't matter if you reduce photosynthesis because you've reduced it by transplanting them anyway. And fruit shrinkage, most fruits aren't photosynthesizing, so you can reduce water loss without any negative effects. And that really is the current status of antitranspirants, film antitranspirants. And that's pretty much standard science at the moment. So that could be the end of the talk. There's no use at all on large-scale tillage crops. But I got to thinking about it, And when you read up all about this large body of research back in the 20th century on film antitranspirants, it's dominated by the physiology of the processes of photosynthesis and transpiration. Well, I'm a developmental physiologist, and all that research seems to have ignored developmental physiology. So here we come to disparate fact number two. Basically, we all know that crops are not equally sensitive to water stress at all stages of development. We've just heard a lot about that in previous talks. So our premise is that it may be that at the most critical stage, the most sensitive stage of a crop to water stress, that a reduction in photosynthesis from an antitranspirant may actually be of less consequence than the reduction in water potential in the plant. To illustrate that with wheat, Fisher showed very clearly in a neat experiment where he gave 4 days of water stress, different time periods. So the bottom axis here is the midpoint of the 4 day water stress period. And you can see that there's a massive yield reduction when you apply a water stress just before the heads emerge, but a couple of weeks earlier and a couple of weeks later, much less sensitivity. That stage, just before head emergence, is the boot stage, Feeks 9, Zadox 45. So our hypothesis, which we set out to test, was that yield of droughted wheat could increase if you sprayed an antitranspirant at this very sensitive stage to water stress. So in our field experiments, we've looked at two or three products, but the main one we've tested is di1-paramethene, which is a terpenoid polymer. It's the same stuff as VapoGuard, the other slide that I showed you. Emerald is just the UK version of it. Initially, we did 5 experiments, one each year, and we got in one experiment a very large yield increase from 4 to 5.63 metric tons per hectare, but we got a lot of variability in response, and we got a small reduction in one experiment. And one of the problems with these experiments was that we've got different times, different stages, slightly different stages of applying the antitranspirant, different soil moisture deficits, and unfortunately in some of those experiments we weren't able to have the same variety, the same cultivar. So I'd like to show you some data from a series of experiments over 3 years in one particular field, because we had those other experiments in different fields, different soil types. So we're looking at one field with a sandy loam soil, very low available water capacity. The available water capacity is about 180 millimetres. One cultivar, and we used polythene tunnels to guarantee getting a drought. One of the things about the UK is that we get a drought which reduces yield about 1 year in three, so it's very unreliable trying to do drought experiments, because if you've got two of the other 3 years, you're not going to be very successful. And we also had parallel plots outside tunnels as well to look at any ambient drought that occurred. And we looked at two different timings of the sprays in two of the years. It's very difficult in trying to time spray applications to crops to get them on at a particular growth stage, because if it's blowing a gale, you ain't going to get out there and spray it on. So it was very difficult to try and get a uniform stage of development. I'll skip that one because the graph shows this better. The other problem we've got with this sort of experiment is that if you're looking at two different timings of something to a droughted crop, then over time, the soil moisture deficit is going to increase. So when you look at the late spray, you've also changed the soil moisture deficit. So we've got an inherent confounding between the timing of the spray and the soil moisture deficit. Fortunately, there were some, when we took all the experiments together, there's some clear linear relationships which allowed us to use multiple regression to disentangle the stage of development at spraying and the soil moisture deficit. We get a multiple regression equation where our yield response to a spray of the antitranspirant is equal to the soil moisture deficit, and that instead of putting a development stage, I've expressed this as number of days from the 1st of April. And that gives us an R squared of 80%. So what we've done is aggregated all the data from the experiments over the 3 years, both ambient drought and artificial drought. And in this one regression, we get about 80% of the variation explained by SMD and the days when we apply the antitranspirant. You can see from this graph that the relationship is very strongly linear. I'll show you this one, which has the peak stages in numbers, and it also has the zero marked. So what's it showing us? So we've got these different timings here of the sprays. This one here gave us a very big reduction in yield. This incidentally is the output from the multiple regression. So I'm showing you here the yield response to a spray of the film antitranspirant, that is the difference between sprayed and unsprayed plots, and that is adjusted to the mean soil moisture deficit across all the experiments, which is obviously what the multiple regression is doing. So when we do this, we find a big reduction from this spray at peak stage 10.54, which is anthesis. And that is exactly what you would expect from the previous research, that spraying the antitranspirant stops CO2 going in, reduces growth. You'd expect it to reduce yield, just like the textbooks tell you. Up here, this is the counterintuitive bit. This is an increase in yield from spraying the antitranspirant, where we spray it at peak stage 8, which is flag leaf just appearing. The boot stage is 9, and it's around about a zero yield response. So we actually need to get it on just before the most sensitive stage. There is also this clear linear relationship between the yield response and the soil moisture deficit. And again, these results down here, so this is the yield response adjusted to the average spraying date of the antitranspirant in the multiple regression. So these responses down here, negative yield responses at low soil moisture deficits, these are exactly what you'd expect. If the crop isn't under any stress, then blocking the stomata off with the polymer is obviously going to reduce photosynthesis and yield. This is the counterintuitive bit. We get an increase in yield when the soil moisture deficit is high enough. So what about the economics of this? Because these antitranspirants are actually very expensive products. These calculations just take into account the cost of the antitranspirant. They don't take into account the fact that you've actually got to take a sprayer through and spray the crop. But the product I was using costs about $30 a litre. We apply it at 2.5 litres per hectare, so we're looking at $75 per hectare cost for the product. You could pluck a figure out of the air for a wheat price, but earlier this year it was $225 per tonne, the world wheat price. So to break even with that $75 cost on the antitranspirant, we'd need to get back at least 0.33 tonnes per hectare. We can use the multiple regression to work out that if we put on the antitranspirant at the stage that gave us the best yield response, peak stage 8, then we can see that for a 0.33 tonnes per hectare yield increase, we will only get that if we spray it at a deficit of about 55 millimetres. Below that, it's not worthwhile. Above that, then we should be making a profit. So, in conclusion then, I think there's fairly clear evidence, in contrast to what the textbooks tell you, that if you get the timing right and there is a sufficient soil moisture deficit, that an antitranspirant spray can increase droughted wheat yield. I do think, though, that we need a lot more research to show that this is applicable in a wider range of environments and different genotypes. And to be perfectly truthful, it's probably got more application in other countries than the UK, because, as I say, we're only getting a drought 1 year in three. So it's probably more applicable in the US or Australia. Thank you.
We have time for questions.
Yes, what we haven't got a lot of measurements of plant water status, but what it appears to be is that, yeah, we do get a higher water potential in the plant at the most sensitive stage, the boot stage.
Anything else?
You are showing yield benefits per se at soil deficits, I think, by ASCOS 500 million, 100 million. Those are fairly serious deficits. What yield levels are you operating at for persistent yield benefits?
They're quite high yields because this is winter wheat. It has a long growing season, and there's plenty of rain over the winter. So the average yields were between 7 and 8 tonnes per hectare. So they're quite high yields, base yields.